Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. People helping people, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks, LER, lower extremity review, and MVP Parent Magazines, and UK Health Radio. Got a great doubleheader, Timmer Halligan. He's the general manager of the Raleigh Racquet Club, and he is the coach of so many young junior tennis champions, many of them that we work with together. He's returning. Then Jim Judge, he's the founder of the Chicago area Relive Physical Therapy, joins me. Then the sports doctor's in, some Dr. Bob Wisdom, your emails. Hey, Timmer Halligan, welcome back to the Sports Doctor, my friend.
Thank you so much, Doc. It's a pleasure to be back. You know, we've had a lot of years together.
Yeah, give us some quickie background on you and your whole coaching career and even your Louisville playing days.
That's excellent. Well, I appreciate you, Doc. You know, I've known you for a long, long time. You've helped me with a lot of athletes over the years to be able to reach their maximum potential and being able to move around the court and stay healthy and such. And I finished playing college tennis back in 1990 up at Northern Illinois University. I did grow up in Louisville. You said that. So I'm a diehard Cardinals fan through and through.
I got into the world of coaching.
Yeah. You know, I got into the world of coaching right out of school and just really found I enjoyed it. I loved helping kids reach their maximum potential and been fortunate enough to have kids ranked, you know, top in the world, top in the country, go on to college scholarships. But ultimately, as I realized over my years, to make them the best young people that they can be. And got into the world of running clubs and doing that. I've been doing that for, gosh, the last 25 years or so. And you know, everywhere I'm always at, we always have premier athletes. And so love continuing to help them. And like you said earlier, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina now.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. You were always involved with fitness club orientations besides tennis. So we were able to pay big attention to what the late, great Bob Guida, my mentor for, gosh, four decades, and others, when it came to realize how athletic tennis, you know, it's funny, when I worked with McEnroe, Connors, and somebody moons ago, that Guida would see Tracy Austin, you know, tennis players didn't work out or do much in the way off court. McEnroe thought we were nuts. Now he's a huge advocate, so you always were involved in the athletic and the physical demand side besides the mental game, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you find a passion for doing something. You feel like you do it pretty well and you get to help a whole lot of people along the way. So you know, I started playing tennis when I was 3 and I'm into my 50s now and continue to enjoy this great sport.
You know, your daughters, you know, they were both great. All your kids, I was hitting balls with your son. I can't remember when. But your girls, really, really good players. Are they still playing?
Yeah, my one daughter is playing college tennis up in Massachusetts. And my other one fell victim to some elbow problems and had a surgery a few years ago that didn't quite work out the way we wanted it. So now she's going to be going to Penn State without playing tennis. But tennis taught her a lot of the disciplines that she currently has. And even without it, she's going to go on to do great things.
Well, you know, again, she had a great example. Not that you were putting too much pressure, you know, on some of these kids. Tell us, Timmer, about the Raleigh Racquet Club.
Yeah, the Raleigh Racquet Club is located in Raleigh, North Carolina. We've been around since 1968. In fact, you know, we housed Jimmy Connors' Advantage Tour here for several seasons and such. So all those guys, Connors, McEnroe, Vilas, Andres Gomez, they kind of made their house here. And we also ran the Fed Cup here back in 99. So Lindsay Davenport, Monica Seles were playing here. And, you know, we been fortunate enough to be named the North Carolina Club of the Year 2 out of the last 3 years that we've been here. And we've got about 900 members, and a good portion of what we do here is not only make sure that all of our adult tennis players are able to keep themselves in shape on the court, because I've always been a firm believer, and you taught this to me, you know, the exercise routine and all of that is not about, you know, getting injured. It's about being able to recover quicker when things do occur, because injuries will occur. Certain things will happen. And the more that you can keep your body fine-tuned, the less time it takes you to be able to return back, because we all have got those aches and pains. But we're proud. This year we had the National Boys 18s USTA National Champion, as well as the Boys 16 National Champion. And so we're proud of all the things that our high-level athletes are doing as well.
You know, it's always been a big challenge. You know, you mentioned it, the rest and recovery side, the intelligent rest side. And when we're dealing with some of these prodigy sports, you know, that's one of the chapters in my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, that you participated with, where we talk about the so-called prodigy sports. You know, think of figure skating, think of gymnastics. You know, these kids, we want them to play other different sports, but, and tennis is included, where you have, again, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, hey, that's all I want to do. And the tremendous challenge of overuse and trying to stay out of trouble as best we can. And the more talented that young boy or girl is, sometimes the more the pressure really, really mounts, whether it's playing injured, trying to push through other kinds of situations, or having an overzealous coach or parent. I always remember you paid big attention to that side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that I think really separates us and puts us as one of the best training facilities, definitely on the East Coast and arguably in the country, is our director of tennis, Paul Goode, and the staff that we have. It's probably one of the finest tennis staff I've ever had the opportunity to work with, and probably the finest tennis staff. And they do a lot of things throughout the day. You know, kids are, they're in a, you know, these prodigy sports, they're in their sports environment 3 to 4 hours a day. That's just kind of what's become the norm. And it's a matter of what you do in those 3 to 4 hours if you're out there for that long. And Paul and the staff do a really, really good job of cross training. You know, they're playing a lot of basketball and soccer and little field hockey kind of things. And
yes, we like, because that's a great point, which is, besides, you don't have to be on a team to include that type of cross training when we're dealing again with one of these prodigy sports, and be able to. And again, it's another chapter in the book. I talk about two essential exercise concepts to include. And number one, you'll remember well, is strengthen those feet and ankles in the world of tennis. And number two is work balance. Work balance. Don't run these kids to death. They're already doing a tremendous amount of running. So sometimes we'll see that we really want to include those couple of concepts and pay big attention. How early are they starting to get serious in this day and age, Timur, in your world, where you start seeing these kids again concentrating on the one sport?
Well, you know, you see them getting really focused at, you know, 8, 9, 10. I think sometimes parents get a little more focused a little earlier than the kids.
Yeah, how
do.
Old were you? How old were you, Timur, when you started saying, this is what I want to do as a kid?
You know, I think when I finally made that decision, it was in eighth grade. So, I mean, I won't say I was late, but I remember I was playing some baseball and I'd actually injured my arm pitching. And then had to go play tennis. And my dad said, well, we got to make a decision here, because you can't overdo on both, because you're trying to excel at both of these at a high level. And so that's when I made the decision to, you know, primarily focus on tennis, was about eighth grade.
You know, it's interesting as we've watched, you know, I always know you and your son, you guys were big Rafa, because Rafa Nadal, when we were whacking balls around, was a young upcoming superstar. As we've watched, you know, in this latest, Djokovic just gets injured. In the French Open. It's amazing, these 5-set matches. You know, we have a contest every year, Timur, on the Sports Doctor. We've had it on and off for years. And the question is, which sports require the best athletes? And always there's lots of votes for tennis when you start thinking about some of these 5-hour matches and really, really what it takes to be able to hold up physically and mentally to that kind. But you got to be a great athlete in this day and age to be playing serious tennis.
Absolutely. And I think you're seeing today, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, when I was growing up, you know, the weight room was sort of a forbidden place.
Yes.
And now it's a place that you should be. And now more important, I think, than probably ever, what you do, Doc, is because I'm watching these athletes now sliding on hard courts, right? That was never something I'd even think about doing. And the strength and the flexibility that you got to have in your feet and your lower extremities is now more important than ever before.
Yes. You know, what's the website people could find out everything you guys are doing out there in Raleigh?
Oh, yeah. They can just go to rrctennis.com, rrctennis.com.
I remember when you were here locally, you know, you had a lot to do with that great local club, Five Star Tennis. When did you move to North Carolina, Timmer?
We came to North Carolina in December of 2019. So right before the pandemic hit, we moved here to North Carolina. And fortunately enough, the weather here permitted everyone to continue to be outside and train year-round and enjoy the great game of tennis during what was a very difficult time for a lot of folks.
Yes, and I'm sure, you know, your lovely wife is taking good care of you. I think her sisters, half her family were patients of mine, the Carges.
Yes, great tennis family.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, how's pickleball, you know, with the explosion of pickleball, how's the fandom of tennis doing with this explosion of pickleball? Are they getting along?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they're sports. You're seeing a lot of, you know, former professional players now playing pickleball, and you're seeing a lot of folks come out of college that are going right into it because I think it's
Agassi,
easier.
Agassi, McEnroe.
You know what was
Jack
interesting?
Jack Sock and all them.
Yes. What was interesting is, you know, I wrote a couple articles big time back in 2021, and the point was how physical pickleball was. You know, we would see all these seniors and super seniors saying, "Hey, I want to go play pickleball." And they weren't like the tennis players who had been playing for years. So you'd see them 60, 70 years old, still playing tennis, you know, still holding up physically. So that's been one of the dramatic things we've seen in pickleball is this tremendous amount of problems and injuries by older people not being in the kind of shape to run around like you have to run around. I'm still picturing in my mind, like you said, when you're sliding on hard surfaces, that's really something that we started noticing. I wonder how the shoe industry has kept up with that.
Yeah, you know, it's here at the Raleigh Racquet Club, I've got tennis players that are 96, 97 years old, regularly 85-year-old tennis players regularly. And, you know, this sport, there's a statistic that's out there that playing tennis will give the ability to live 10 years longer. And I think it's because of the sport itself and the social component that goes along with it.
I saw that same thing. I found that very, very interesting. I think that's a big point, the camaraderie and the social side of it. And I'll bet you if we took a question to all these 80-year-olds, they would say they had been playing for decades and decades and decades. They didn't just pick up a tennis racket at 74 years old in most instances.
Right.
Has that been your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we encourage folks to pick it up because it's never too late. But you're right. I mean, we've got members that have been here 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, playing with the same group of men or women on a Wednesday afternoon, having lunch when they finish, and you know, celebrating birthdays. I think we had one last week for a lady who was 90 and just finished playing a 90s senior tournament. So it's definitely a sport of a lifetime.
You know, it's really also interesting, Timmer. We used to talk about it, the tremendous growth of the athletic side of women's tennis. You know, going back to the Martina Navratilovas, nobody knew what to make of her. She was such an athlete. Compared, you know, Tracy Austin was always worried about how her bracelets fit, even though when Guy to try to get her again to pay much more attention to the physical side, which of course she then ended up doing. But the young girl players and the women's side, like in women's basketball, I marvel at the athleticism of these girls. Maybe I ought to throw in the college softball World Series at the same time. Have you noticed that over the years? These girls are just amazing.
Yeah, I think, you know, all athletes are developing and becoming better. You have to be able to compete in this day and age, whether it be the technology of the equipment that's used, which accelerates the speed of the ball. And, you know, I think you're finding, you know, everyone that truly enjoys and wants to get to that next level has to excel in that area. And, you know, I think we're seeing it more and more. You know, it's interesting. I watched some of that College World Series, the women, and was just astounded at some of the plays that were being made. It's just great to see, you know, so many young athletes that are committing the time to become very, very good.
But there's no doubt about it. Bigger, faster, stronger. Whoever dreamed you'd see a 6'7" shortstop or 245-pound infielder or a tennis player, 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", you know, 220, with the speed of any of these players. And this has really been a challenge, sports medicine-wise, keeping up, number one, with the importance of the rest and recovery side. As well, Timbers, again, we have so many people, I call it the mental game, sports psychologists, mental coaches, who talk about paying huge attention to the mental side when you're talking about these players at all ages. I knew the time would fly by with you. Timber, give me the website again of the club.
Absolutely. It's rrctennis.com.
rrctennis.com, the great Timber Halligan. Coach of many, many moons in the world of tennis. Timber, thanks so much. It's great to have you back, and hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Jim Judge. He's the founder of the Chicago Area Relive Physical Therapy. Jim, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you for allowing me to come on. It's great to be here.
Great. Jim, give us some background on your physical therapy world. I know we've crossed various people in the past in the world of physical therapy. Guida, Kaufman, some of these others. Give us some background on you and your career.
Sure. I was a competitive wrestler in high school and college and had some injuries, so I thought I'd go into to help myself. I went to physical therapy. My career spanned over 30 years, and so some of that touched on quite a bit of sports medicine. And to this day, we still do. We have about 12 offices in the physical therapy world in the Chicagoland area and a little bit into Northwest Indiana. A lot of my background is in manual therapy and McKenzie techniques, just those natures, and then expanded into sports medicine. So I did have some time with the White Sox. I worked with the White Sox. The doctors I worked with was Parkview Orthopedics, so we had the opportunity to work with Bo Jackson when he had his hip replaced. And we also had some time with the Chicago Bears as well as the Chicago Fire, so my trainers were able to work with them for several years before they were on contracts changed. So our world has been, we see everyone in our system is not just in sports medicine, but it is, we feel like that we are an expert in that area, but we also see the community. I feel very strongly that we have to help the community besides just specific athletes in the region. So we see everyone from Medicare patients all the way down to pediatrics, collision athletics, I call it, and the little guys get hurt when they're falling off their bicycles or doing sports, competitive sports, as well as some patients with proprioceptive balance problems, postoperative injuries and surgical intervention, going down to also with patients for fall risk. So we see the whole gamut from head to toe.
You know, it's been amazing to see the tremendous attention. I've been screaming about it, I don't know, 40 years, give or take a few weeks. You know, the whole balance side of things, the biomechanics, the lower extremities, the foot mechanics, but the fall prevention becoming such a big deal in the world of physical therapy. And again, you know, from the world of youth athletics to the weekend warriors, again, to the fall prevention side, you're really talking about the gamut of ages almost without any unlimited limitation.
Yeah, we'd like to see somebody come off, anyone off the street can come up, anywhere from TMJ disorders to balance. A lot of this balance is also related to people with vestibular disorders, which is very actually coming on a lot, especially post COVID. We've seen a significant uptick in patients with vestibular disorders. So that's been a big part of what we do as well.
I'll have to put you together with my figure skating master coach, guest a couple weeks ago, Sheila Thielen, with her vestibular training products from the world of figure skating. It's really an interesting, you know, you mentioned the White Sox, the Bulls, the Bears, you know, my longtime mentor, colleague, Bob Guida, who you, of course, also knew, and into World Rick. Back, you mentioned Bo Jackson and the great trainer of the White Sox, Herm Schneider, all of those years. And the interesting demand, Jim, of the professional side of things. You know, hey, Jim, can you get me better yesterday? I got to play. You know, so the whole mental side and the area of rest and recovery was sometimes a real interesting challenge going way back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Let alone the drugs. Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of this was, you know, getting these guys back to work, if you will. There's millions of dollars at stake, so there's a lot of intensity. We did work with Carlton Fisk when one of his injuries, and he was in our office for 5 hours a day. So it was a very demanding on the therapist as well, as much as, I mean, to his credit, in his late 30s, early 40s, he was so competitive, Hall of Famer, of course, but we had the pleasure. Even Ozzy, when he was a patient, he was one of our patients when he was injured while he was playing. So it was a fun time for us. But we apply those principles to all of our patients. We want to make sure they get back. Whatever work-related do, that's a full function for them. So whatever function they do, we want to get to that level. That's what our goals are.
Yes. And, you know, the incredibly explosive world of youth sports, which we spend so much attention to on The Sports Doctor. Matter of fact, we're all excited about the documentary coming out probably before the fall, Where Our Children Play, the Challenge Youth Sports. That we've participated into the past few years, and the physical and mental demands on these kids. And, you know, like you're talking about, even when they're on the serious sports or the professional side, et cetera, and you're dealing with not only the athlete and or the kids, but you're dealing with their parents as well as their coaches. You know, that's why I always ask how your sports psychology skills are.
Yeah, no, thank you. You play it. We're like the bartender on the Love Boat. We have to do a little bit of everything. We have to be sports psychologists. We have to be. We have to work with their parents. Obviously, they're more difficult than the coaches sometimes. But it is part of the game that we signed up for, and it's still enjoyable because we get to see these guys excel all over the career. And for that, just from the a lot of these guys are really competitive. We'll see them go into the high school and college levels, which is really fun to see.
Yeah, we were talking with my first guest today, Timur Halligan. We go way back in the world of youth high-performance tennis and the demands, again, physically on some of these kids very, very early where we start to see them specializing, whether it's figure skating or ballet or it's gymnastics. And, you know, we want these kids to use different parts of the body. And many times I would look to physical therapy, Jim, to help supervise these kids, whether they were skaters or whether they were tennis players or soccer players, young adolescents playing 12 days a week. And we really wanted your supervision to try to stay out of trouble.
Well, I mean, it's, we take that highly, that very early. The earlier the intervention, and the studies are very specific on the earlier intervention we have in physical therapy on an injury, the faster the recovery. So early and often is our kind of our protocol. So, and it also gives them the confidence once you start working with them on the agility techniques, it might be a low level of prone depends on the injury, to get them back into the sports related trunk training. So it is something that if we see them earlier, our outcomes are much better. So we enjoy that part of the aspect of rehab.
You know, I've written numerous articles. The latest one just came out on the challenges of pickleball. My first article in Lower Extremity Review magazine, it was in 2021, Jim. No one knew how to spell the word pickleball.
I know.
You know, I was talking about how physical this game is, with lots of people taking it up as seniors. In the world of physical therapy, again, I would imagine you must be seeing and dealing with plenty of people involved with pickleball concerns, whether it's upper or lower extremity. What's been your experience in your group?
Well, like I said, to your point, 2-3 years ago, that was kind of a new name for us. But that actually started in the 60s, I believe, in Seattle, was invented, if I'm not mistaken. So it just took a little while to get to the Midwest. Yeah, it is. It's a different game too. It's not a tennis game. It's a quicker, closer game. And the handles are different. So we see a lot of wrist, elbow injuries. And I've treated one of our patients, a very competitive gut player that had bilateral papillary Achilles tendonitis. And it was just a really difficult case to treat. But because the problem is they want to continue to play. They're like runners. They just have this ache to go. So once we slowed him down, that's the only time I shut him down and then inflamed like that. Once
well, you know, it's interesting. The relationship I've had with you guys all these years, again, whether it was the Gaida, the Herm Schneiders, and the whoever the particular strength trainers or whatever was, again, was the incredible role of the foot in sports and the importance of understanding that these mechanics are so key. And the idea, many times I would have parents or coaches say to me, does my son or daughter need orthotics? I'd say, let's talk whether they benefit when done properly and optimally. And then we would want to include big time your side of strengthening those feet and ankles, working on balance big time. And I'm still knocking myself out with that educational side of things, Jim.
Well, I agree with you, and I think the foot is a neglected area. They don't realize the importance.
Still, yes.
Yeah. It's 7,500 steps a day, our average for most adults, and you have ground reaction forces that are coming through on a daily basis. You don't walk on your hands that much, but we care more about our hands than the tests.
Well, I did have a talk I was giving to all these gymnasts, and they raised their hands. They said, we do, too, walk on our hands.
Yeah, that's true, but it's the same anatomy as the hand, and it's the same anatomy.
But I'll tell you, it's amazing is the whether it's the world of tennis, volleyball, where I see these very serious young adolescent girls, 50% of the problems I would see as a sports podiatrist were knee problems. Mm-hmm. And this is something still missed dramatically when we talk about so many knee problems in these young girls. And if their feet don't hurt, it's missed many times. What's been your experience with the still 4-5 to 1 knee concerns, girls to boys?
Well, obviously for females, I mean, you have the increased valgus stresses on the knee, so the knee angle is different. So you're going to see a lot more ACL injuries and some other medial ankle sprains that more than so than with males. So we do address, again, to your point, we're not treating one joint where it's a kinetic chain. So we work up the splatter. Yeah. So we address foot, ankle, knee, hip, and lumbar together because it's a competitive and all these planar motions that we're working with these athletes. I address all of those hips. So it is missed, unfortunately, but our therapists are well-trained. We have a specialized training program that we do with some therapists, so I'm very concerned. Usually I'm very comfortable with
it. Young girls, you know, young girls develop. Their hips widen, their knee angles change. It's really a matter of biomechanics still, which is why many times I like to exchange notes and get feedbacks with professionals in the physical side of things. You know, all areas of physical therapy, Jim, I call it the mental game. I'm a sports doctor. And by the way, give us the best website to find out about you, your locations, and your group.
Yeah, our best one is at www.relivetherapy.com. So that will be the rest. So we're also on LinkedIn, same as, and we have on LinkedIn as well as an Instagram and Facebook. So we're on all platforms.
So the attention to the nutrition side, the attention again to the rest and recovery side, it ends up, you know, athletes and non-athletes, disabilities, et cetera, you're in the middle of a lot of that when you're really working with people, aren't you?
We do, yeah, we do have a nutritional program that we do. It's a very safe, natural product that we use to help our people, especially with people that are a little bit overweight. We do have patients that, aside from the athletes, they're athletic in their own way. They might be playing pickleball at 65 or 70, but they still want to be competitive and best they can. So we want to offer all aspects of training, including nutrition. So as you well know, the for every pound you lose, you're losing 10 pounds of distress to the joints. So when somebody's losing 10 or 15 pounds, that's a significant amount of force reactions that are going off the body. So it's been pretty helpful for us. So
interesting. Yes, for decades, I have featured childhood obesity, spoken to experts around the world, and in many, many instances, we were making tremendous strides. In other instances, we're treading water. Obesity, childhood obesity, huge problem. And when you have any kind, you know, flat-footed titties, way, way overweight, his back hurts, his knees hurt, his feet and ankles hurt, and the challenge is still, of course, social media. And the fact of people hanging around and looking at screens all day has been a real challenge for a lot of the youth situation, hasn't it?
Well, it's a ginormous problem we have, really, is what the word, because it's a we do see, and even in some school systems, a gym is elective. They don't even have gym classes, so these kids are and they had the unfortunate had to deal with being home for COVID, and so they've kind of been a little bit more lax in terms of their activities and exercise. We have to bring back dodgeball, I think, as a joke, to bring it back to get them more competitive. So it is.
I remember that. Yeah. Well, you know, for years here in Illinois, you know, for years, I was fighting for them to keep gym in school.
No, it's going down. It's a lot
yes.
Now.
I want to talk more about those kinds of challenges. We're talking with Jim Judge. We're talking with Relive Physical Therapy. And we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We're talking with Jim Judge. He is the founder of the Chicago area Relive Physical Therapy. Are you also in Indiana, Jim?
Sir, we're out in Crown Point and now in Schererville as well.
Oh, wow, Crown Point. My son had a great lake house out there, man. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite areas out there in Crown Point. And the Again, the idea of physical therapy's interaction with medicine, which I think in so many areas, pediatrics, even geriology, again, adult medicine, even older age of medicine, I think has grown very, very exponentially. There's still some interaction that you think is necessary or helpful, as well as what you mentioned before, where your interaction in the communities, the school systems. How do you find the how important that is to get, you know, the physical side, the inclusion of gym class, maybe throwing in dodgeball, like you mentioned, being paid more and more attention to in the area of especially coming back after the pandemic?
Well, it's there's a lot more work that we're doing with psychologists, believe it or not, because of all this.
I agree. Big time. The mental game.
So we've done that, and we do work closely with the community, but we're also involved in the chambers, and with the chamber relationships, we have high school, grade school, middle school and relationships. And so we do a lot of even pre-athletic screening with them, education, nutrition, exercises, injury prevention, to get the word out for them to understand that. So in the event that they do have an injury, unfortunately, which is they're going to happen, that they know who we are. So there's a well of a community awareness of how we bring them back to us.
Yeah, how is the relationship, do you find, with the physical therapy and the coaching community, which, again, I think, again, you know, the areas of that we stress so much on the sports doctor, which is awareness, number one, education, number two, action, number three, the awareness of some of these challenges, you know, as these, whether it's concussions or other particular areas, how's the communication with the physical therapy world and the coaching community?
I can give you several examples, but most of the time, like, for example, I had a really high-level D1 athlete out of Purdue. She was a softball player, and I was actually had the fortune of treating with her. And we as a community work usually with athletic trainers, and the athletic trainers will then work with the coaches because they work with them directly. And we have a really good rapport with the athletic trainers, so we'll let them know what we're doing when they're not in rehab with them. They come with the
Those are the real geniuses. The athletic trainers, they deal with anything from, oh my gosh, a spinal injury or a concussion, whatever it happens to be, to ingrown toenails in one way, shape, or form. Yes, and I think that they're a tremendous connection. Of course, there's so many schools that don't have trainers. That's still a tremendous challenge, isn't it?
Well, for physical therapists, too, now there's a shortage of physical therapists. The growing baby boom population is overcoming us in odds, as well as the athletic trainers. I think some of the athletic trainers, there's been a attrition to them because it's very difficult because they're away from their family. They're at weekends every weekend, those type of things. So I do see that that's been a problem for some of these schools. The bigger schools can afford them. It's very difficult. So I see a shortage, and that's not fair to these athletes. But we're lucky enough to see the patients in a pretty quick manner if they're not able to be seen by a trainer at their school.
You know, with the explosion of health clubs and people working out, the also explosion of the personal training world, I always felt that the personal trainer was a great continuation of what the physical therapist might be dealing with, you know, trying to rehabilitate that injury and dealing on that side, and then being able to count on a well-trained personal trainer to move them to work with in their particular club. How have you found that relationship, Jim?
I've worked with a lot of athletic trainers, as well as you know, the trainers in the gym, so the health club trainers. It's been it's hot or cold. Sometimes they think you're trying to take away their patients, but when in reality we're trying to help them. I actually worked in several of my offices, especially at some offices in Florida where we worked directly with them. So we had good relationships with them. We just ask them to stay in their lane, and we'll stay out, let them still train while they're rehabbing, for example, a lower extremity injury. Let us see them for a couple of those days, and you welcome to work on the upper body. So we don't ever want to take them away from their training. We just want to make sure we isolate what we're doing and communicate with them so that when they're done with therapy, they can start transitioning to similar exercises into the training program.
And especially, again, the proper technique is so important, regardless of what the particular activity happens to be. And again, I've counted a lot on physical therapy in order to be able to pay big attention, whether it was a home program for a 12-year-old kid who's doing triple jumps and figure skating, or whether it was a home program, again, for that young tennis player who's swinging a racket 500, 1,000 times a week, or that kid who's on the softball team, whatever it happens to be, that is too busy many times to get into a particular program, and we're counting on a home program. And that's when we really need that education with the physical therapist, because the technique is such a big deal when we would start to see just, you know, so much overkill with so many of these kids. You know, the guys or the boy or girl is, you know, playing tennis 6 days a week. And then at the club, they've got them running stairs and jumping rope. No wonder their knees are killing them.
Well, I agree. I sometimes cringe when I walk into a health club. So if I do fitness training myself, I cringe to see what they're doing. So your point, I almost want to give them my card and say, I'll see you soon, because you're just not doing this correctly. So I think proper form is the most important. I mean, if you look at somebody who's doing high level exercise activities, it has to be proper form. That's how you prevent injuries as well.
Yeah, that was like way back when Bob Guida came out and started to have questions stretching at the time. The whole world came after him in so many ways.
Right?
And he was talking about technique and overkill. And then one of my frequent guests, Gary Reinhold, wrote the book Iced, talking about that ice doesn't heal anything. It's great for pain. And the world came after him. And then he says, so, you know, sometimes when sometimes, again, the necessity of continuing education, especially, again, where we're seeing in all athletics, bigger, faster, stronger, yet really has been a challenge for physical therapy, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, ICE was big when I started, and ICE, the challenges with ICE is that the research is not supporting what ICE does. It actually can hinders the recovery. So that's a big change what we see.
Yes, this was gigantic. When Gary wrote about this, they wanted to put him away because of the fact of the tradition of ICE.
Yeah, the Rice Principles, you still don't work.
Yes, the guy who wrote Rice Principles did the forward to Gary's second book. And he said,
He retracted.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're best. I'd rather see a level three, division three, level three injury in weight bearing. You know, if somebody has ligament disruption before they had disruption, I want weight bearing, because you're not going to improve their status by having them on a table. It doesn't work. They have to get them on weight bearing to help strengthen those tendons and strengthen the bones.
Yeah,
and all
that was another revolution many times again, which was, you know, how much into the world of returning to weight bearing, and how much in putting people in casts and inhibiting motion, and watching some of those different ideas as they come a long way, baby, and in so many different ways. And again, I really, really respect the fact, like you talked about, working so much in the world of psychology, because of all areas. You know, one of my frequent guests, he contributed to my book, Hashtag A Sports Parent, Robert Andrews, the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston. And he's a mental trainer. His specialty is post-injury mental challenges, dealing with these athletes who, you know, what am I going to do? I'm out for months and their careers flashing before their eyes. It's a real challenge.
Well, this is mental health for men, Men's Mental Health Month, right? So this is something that people don't even think about, right? Especially in men. We've shut it down for months for our whole life, like your sissy, if you have a problem like this. So I think it is, especially if you're an athlete now, you're supposed to be a superhuman at that time. So when you have an injury and there may be a scholarship on the line, it's a very big challenge mentally. And so, you know, we certainly, when we recognize somebody who needs some help, we are going to work with a sports psychologist.
Let alone the weekend warriors, right? The weekend warriors who, again, are, you know, hey, man, I got to get back on the field, and they're pushing and overdoing it. So you're really a big part of the sports medicine, fitness, wellness, education team is the area of physical therapy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we're happy to be in that. We feel like we're the right space for that, because I feel like we have all the tools to be able to help people get through to what they want to do from a goal perspective.
And you keep me within limits. You know, some of our friends like Mark Kaufman, when I had him on my show 100 years ago, he had 3 locations. Now he's in how many states and whatever. The founders of ATI, also Physi-Cal. And are you looking to expand much in your locations?
Yeah, we just opened up a new one in Schererville, and we have some more opportunities in Illinois. We just kind of go where the needs are. We're a very boutique-style clinic. We have one-on-one treatment. We don't have a mass amount of people
coming
through.
I like that term. That's a great term, Jim, the boutique.
Mm-hmm.
type, because it means a lot. You could be the best athlete in the world, and you really want that kind of attention when it comes to something like that, with which maybe has some specialty compared to the impression line of assembly line of some of these big groups has become a challenge compared to more local attention. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's like we don't do, as we call it, the big box theory of treatment, and we don't do that. So we're very specific on one-on-one treatment. And the patients know the difference. In fact, that's why they come to us. And so we're
how's the pediatric community? I know we're going to run out of time. Do you find them paying much more attention to the gigantic world of youth sports?
You know, we see a lot of athletes in soccer now, of course, and some football, but they're moving away from football because of the head collision issues going on. So you see them more in other things like lacrosse, which is bigger than I've ever seen over the last 10 years, and as well as in soccer. So we're seeing, I do see foot and ankle and knee patients that are coming through the family members are very good about this because they're in competitive sports, and so they do travel. And so they're coming to therapy 3, sometimes 4 times a week to get them back to where they need to be. And then we kind of work around their break schedules, and it's hard to get these guys to shut down when they need to because they're young and they're going to be okay. But we do shut them down when they need to be so that they can heal properly so we can get them back on the field.
Yeah, quickly, what's your involvement in the world of concussions? I'm sure it's A to Z.
You know, that's something that I feel is more specialized. We do recognize that we do testing, do cranial testing, all those things with our athletes. And then we usually send them out to some of our colleagues that have us, you know, have the instruments and the platform for that. So, but
yeah, my guest last week, Hillary, Help Our Wounded program and the concussed athletes with hyperbaric oxygen, a lot of excitement in that area with the concussion treatments. Tremendous new attention, which I think is great, you know, compared to the old days where they say, "Hey, Jim, how many fingers? All right, get back in there.
Right. Well, you can relate almost along the same parameters is actually in collision injuries and motor vehicle accidents. That was something
Absolutely.
That was neglected. Head injuries were neglected. And
I knew the time would fly with you, Jim. Give me again the website people could find out about you and your locations.
Relive Physical Therapy. We're at www.relivetherapy.com. Come in anytime. We'll get you in within 24 hours, 24 to 48
relive,
hours.
Yeah, that's a big point, man, getting in right away. Relive therapy.com. All right, hold on, Jim. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, the Sports Doctor's in, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. So we want to throw that in. We're excited. Next week, Gina Pongetti. She's going to be talking about the Olympics, the world of gymnastics, Achieve Physical Therapy and Med Gym. Andrew Hahn, again, the mental game, focus, the mindfulness. The following week, gosh, the famous Rick Kellender. Wrote for Sports Illustrated, written I don't know how many different books. He's the head sports writer with the Chicago Sun-Times. He was on with me 20 years ago. He's returning. Then Lou Vickery. He pitched for the Yankees. He pitched for the Cardinals. He's written 20 books. He had a radio show, Lou in the Morning. I had a Sports Doctors In segment with him for about 3 years. So some great stuff coming up. A quickie, Dr. Bob Wisdom, intelligent rest. If you've got an injury with your son or daughter or you, pay attention, get evaluated. You just don't want to end up with something much more persistent or serious because you overdid it. You tried to run through it. You had your son or daughter taking Advil 2-3 times a day so they could stay on the volleyball court. Pay big attention to the area of intelligent rest. Run with it. The great TV show from British Columbia with Christine Blanchet. They have my Sports Doctors In segment every month. Gosh, we're on our third or fourth year. Run with it from British Columbia. All right. I think we're out of time, everybody. We'll catch you next time. It's Mental Health Month with importance. Catch you next week on the Sports Doctor. Thank you.